Give the scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to just look briefly this evening at verse 26 of this chapter. And so let me just read this before us. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or in an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Let's pray one more time and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us, Lord. We thank you for your many graces. As we reflect on this principle of let all things be done for edification or building up, Lord, may that be what happens here. May we be built up in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to reflect briefly on that phrase, let all things be done for building up. Or your Bible may say, let all things be done for edification. Both are fine translations of the term. The Apostle Paul says that when the church gathers together, everything that is done must be done for edification, for building up. That's the guiding principle for the assembled church. Therefore, we must understand what this edification means. What does it mean that all things are to be done for building up? And that's the purpose of this message. And so it will not be a full treatment of that principle, but hopefully something profitable. And so I have three headings, and I've filled them out for you to save you time in this brief message for you. So let all things be done for building up. The first heading there is its general definition. What does this term mean? In its secular use, it's a construction term. It's like building up a building. And then out where we live, across from the Harry's hot dog shop, they're building, what I counted, I think, 9 apartments across the street there. So massive construction. And when we showed up in June, I think there was only the shell of 2. And now there is at least the shell of 9. And so what has happened from June to now? Construction, building up, that people have come together and work to build buildings so that people can then live in them. And that's the term here. That's what this means, to build up, to construct. And think about all the components that go into such a building construction, that someone first has to have the idea of the building, and someone has to have the money to invest in the building, and then we have to have planners who plan and construct, and people who excavate the land, and people who lay the foundation, and all the construction that goes on to building a building. And so from the day that the construction begins, the point for everyone that shows up on that site is the same. They have the same purpose. Construction. Building. We might say edification. Everyone that shows up to that construction site has the purpose of constructing or building up apartments so that eventually people can live there. That is their purpose for building up. Can you imagine someone showing up to the construction site, and as the one guy is nailing in the trusses, the other guy's pulling out the nails? Or as they're laying the carpet, another guy comes through and tears it up. He would be quickly removed from sight. Why? If you're coming to work here, we're building here. We're not tearing down. That would happen at another site. So Paul says that is how the Church of Jesus Christ should function. As we come together, everything must be done for building up, for construction, rather than tearing down. So that's the general definition of this term of building up or edification. Let's look secondly at its specific goal. The Church of Jesus Christ is not in the business of building apartments. So if we're not building apartments, what are we constructing? What are we building up towards? And to help us here, I want to flip over and turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. What is the goal of our construction? What is the goal of our building up? And I think Ephesians 4 lays out three things here. In many ways, these are parallel terms. In Ephesians 4, verse 13. After Paul has talked about particularly certain gifts given to the church, their purpose is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and in the end of verse 12, for building up the body of Christ. To what end? And this is verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So three things are said here of what we are building towards. Number one, he says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Secondly, we're to attain to mature manhood. And thirdly, we're to attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What do these three things mean? The first, to attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We're to grow in unity. We're to grow in our trust in and understanding of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel. That's the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So that is a personal relationship, but I think that encapsulates the faith and the doctrines and the understanding of the scripture in a comprehensive view of who God is. We're to grow in unity of that. We're to grow in our unity of faith in Jesus Christ, which then leads to our second thing. We are to grow in maturity, to mature manhood. We all develop naturally from children to adults. And we wouldn't want, as cute as my little baby is, I do not want her to remain a baby her whole life. She is to grow up. She is to become an adult. And that's what our goal is spiritually. We are not to be children all our lives. We're to grow into mature adulthood. We are to be deeply rooted, fruitful believers. That Paul says this in verse 13. We're no longer to be children tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. But we're to have some roots. We're to have some control over our lives. That what you would do as a young believer and things and sins that you didn't have under control, you need to grow in that. Your knowledge of God and His view and your trust in Him, that needs to grow. It needs to mature. But that's what we're building towards. That's what we're constructing. And as we do this, this leads naturally to the third thing that Paul says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is we are to grow to become more like Christ. This is what Pastor Mitch was doing in his saying to us in his sermon today. The image that we're to grow more into the image of Christ. So if we are building right, if we're edifying right, that should lead to greater unity, which leads to greater maturity, which means more conformity to the image of Christ. So put simply, we are building towards a mature, united conformity to Christ. That's what our edification, that is what our building up leads to. So Paul is saying everything that the church does together must be done with the purpose of building towards that goal of unity, maturity, and conformity to Christ. Which means if it's not doing that, then it has no place in the assembly. Which leads us to thirdly, the means. How do we build one another into more conformity to Christ? It's not with hammers and screwdrivers. But I think Ephesians 4 helps us here again. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Love is the means by which we build each other up. Speaking the truth in love to one another. And if you recall, in 1 Corinthians, in our passage in chapter 14 there, in that whole context of 12 through 14, Paul emphasizes love in the context of edification, in the context of spiritual gifts in chapter 13. So in love, we are to use our spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. If we go back to our apartment illustration, I mean, the apartments, it doesn't really matter whether they're built in love or not. The boss shows up and you have a job and you're commanded and he may be nice or he may not be nice. But you do your job and the building is constructed. But that's not how the Church of Jesus Christ is built up. We're not built up by harsh taskmasters. We're not built up by that way. We do not bully each other into conformity to Christ. We love each other. And Ephesians 4 provides for us some things that are contrary to love. In this passage, that should not be in our assembly. Look at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What has no place in the assembly? Speaking falsehood to each other. Being untruthful. That is not building each other up in love if we don't tell each other the truth. Secondly, look at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Sinful anger does not build up the body. We get this more in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Bitterness, anger, wrath, hatred towards other people in the body will not build us up in love in conformity to Christ. Therefore, there's no place in the body. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk out of your mouth come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. As for the occasion, that it may give grace. We shouldn't have corrupting talk that comes out of our mouth that does not build up. That does not give grace. That does not edify. If it's going to tear down, don't have anything to do with it. He says that later on in verse 31. Put away all clamor and slander along with all malice. There is no place in the assembly for slanderous talk of your brothers or sisters. There is no place for, hey, did you hear about such and such? It may be true, it may not be true. But your point is to tear their character down rather than to build up of the body. That has no place in the assembly. But the opposite of that is verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Instead of having hatred and anger and slandering your brothers and sisters, instead of coming together with corrupt talk or speaking falsehood with one another, we're to be kind. We're to be loving to one another. Tender-hearted and forgiving. Why would Paul say this? Well, if you put enough sinful human beings trying to work together, the likelihood is at some point someone is going to be offended. If you are married, you know this is reality. You love your spouse, but you sin against your spouse. And the point is, we will not achieve perfection of that. But in those moments, we need to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. As we reflected a few weeks ago, just the debt that God has forgiven us. No one's offense against us is as great as our offense was against God. So if God can forgive us of that great debt, we can forgive anyone else their great debts against us. So when your brother or your sister rubs you the wrong way, don't lash out in sinful anger, but be kind to them. If they're not willing to repent, then you tell them, hey, you offended me. Your actions were out of hand, and extend your forgiveness. But falsehood, anger, malice, slander, none of this has anything to do with edification. And so we come together by means of love to build each other up in the faith. And I was thinking of Mark's mantra that he's repeated from Pastor Martin in his Sunday school of now more than ever. And I think that by and large, this body does attain these principles. But we have to always, always, always remind ourselves of these now more than ever. It just takes a little bit of bitterness festering in any one of our hearts or in any faction or group, and that can have massive destruction on God's church, that we always have to bring these principles to mind of let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for building up. So remember, when we come together, it's for building up, not for tearing down. Let all things be done in love, for the purpose of building up the body to be more like Christ. And if your actions or your words or your thoughts are not towards that end, don't say it. Don't think it. Don't do it. There's no, I think it's helpful if we think about that. Is what I'm thinking about saying going to be for building up to conformity of Christ? And if it's not, let it be. Instead, use your gifts in love to build up Christ's body. And ask God to help you grow all the more in love in building up His body to that end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these few moments reflecting over Your Word here, sink these truths, these very important truths in our lives. Help us, Lord, to not hold anything against our brethren. Help us not to lash out at anyone in anger. Help us not to gossip. Lord, help us in all our words and all our actions and all our prayers. Let everything be done for building up so that we might be more like Your Son. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.